Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. So yesterday, we lost a comedy legend, a comedy icon, and one half of one of the greatest comedic duos ever, and one of the greatest radio duos of all time. Two of the greatest people that ever existed in this medium. They both passed away. Bob Elliott passed away yesterday. Ray Goulding died back in 1990, actually, so it's been a long time. Bob Elliott was the surviving half of the Bob and Ray legendary radio comedy team. They busted into national fame in the 1950s. He died in Cundy's Harbor in Maine yesterday. The cause was throat cancer. His son, Chris Elliott, the great Chris Elliott. I was talking a little bit earlier about Cabin Boy, who, by the way, Bob Elliott is in that. Bob Elliott is in Cabin Boy as, here's a stretch, Dan, Chris Elliott's dad.
Wow.
He also played Chris Elliott's dad on Get a Life. I think the only time I ever really loved an R.E.M. song, because they play Stand. Stand was the opening credits of Get a Life. He is a comic actor, and Bob Elliott was also the grandfather of Abby Elliott, who Chris Elliott's daughter, who spent a significant amount of time doing really funny stuff on SNL. In more than a four-decade comedy partnership that was born in Boston radio after World War II, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding were blessed with with what a writer for The New Yorker once described as infinite sense of the ridiculous. Vocally adept comic actors with perfect timing and delivery, Bob and Ray were masters of subtle, unabrasive satire delivered in two-man sketches featuring an array of colorfully memorable characters. Their prime target was radio itself. As Elliott told the New York Daily News in 1999, he said, "Our original premise was that radio was way too pompous." Sketches ranged from Bob and Ray's mystery tune to the call-in opinion program Speaking Out, and they poked fun at commercials with sponsors such as Cool Canadian Air, packed fresh every day in the Hudson Bay and shipped to your door. Elliott, who was the shorter, thinner, balding one, was best known as Wally Ballou, the inept newsman who had field reports. They had many other characters. Elliott also portrayed Dr. Daryl Dexter, the world-renowned Komodo dragon expert, and we will hear that classic bit. And Johnny Carson called Bob and Ray two of the funniest, most influential humorists of their time. Among those who were influenced by or simply called themselves fans of Bob and Ray were Jay Leno, David Letterman, George Carlin, Garrison Keillor, Al Franken, Kurt Vonnegut, and LA Radio's Bob and Ray inspired Al Lohman and Roger Barkley. In the 2003 book Seriously Funny, The Rebel Comedians of the 50s and 60s, author Gerald Nachman called Bob and Ray inventive comics whose, quote, dry, laid-back, on-target sensibility transcended broadcasting and their own time. Astonishingly, they lasted nearly a half a century, remained funny long after radio comedy was dead and buried. These guys were brilliant. They were amazing. And this is this medium that we are lucky enough to be a part of, radio, which is a special, special medium, is where they got their start and where they made their mark. So we have to pay tribute to these guys in that regard, and also because of the impact that Bob and Ray made. Bob Elliott was a remarkably funny man, incredibly gifted, and he's going to be missed. And what he and Ray Goulding left behind will forever be around, and the impact of their comedy is going to be felt for decades and decades to come. Chris Elliott and Abby Elliott will continue the family's history of comedy. Chris Elliott obviously has made a mark for himself doing crazy, weird comedy on David Letterman and making movies and being on TV shows and continuing. And Abby Elliott, Chris's daughter, made her mark on SNL, and she's done television shows and movies as well, both of whom are remarkably funny and obviously inherited great comedic genes from the great Bob Elliott. So let's pay tribute to Bob Elliott. If you want to jump in here with your thoughts and your memories of Bob and Ray, 312-981-7200. You want to text in your thoughts or your memories of Bob and Ray and Bob Elliott, 312-981-7200. Okay, let's start off with one of my favorite. This is absolutely one of my favorite Bob and Ray bits. I used to listen to Bob and Ray all the time. When I was a kid, I remember hearing Bob and Ray and not really knowing who they were. When I was a little kid, I remember my dad brought home this thing called Ajax Liquor Store, which is a bit that I've played on the show many, many times. It's a legendary comedy radio bit from two guys who started out in radio. Hudson and Landry were their names. And I remember thinking that that was like one of the funniest things ever that I ever heard when I was a little kid, which got me interested in Cheech and Chong, you know. And that led me back through Ajax Liquor Store and Hudson and Landry, and then my love of Cheech and Chong. That led me back to go back and listen to guys like Bob and Ray, who were the originators, really, the absolute originators of that kind of stuff. There would be no Hudson and Landry. There would be no wacky comedy teams, especially in the radio, without Bob and Ray. There'd be no Cheech and Chong without Bob and Ray. But the amazing, you know, they were put together. You know how it started, Dan? They each had a radio show in Boston. And then Ray ended up doing the news for Bob. And it started like how Stephen Gary started, because Gary Meyer started out doing the news on Dahl's show. They realized that they had an incredible rapport, and that's what happened with Bob and Ray. And then they were given like an afternoon show in Boston in late 40s, early 50s. And it was like a crazy, like it's just a short, like half hour matinee. I think it was a matinee with Bob and Ray or something was the name of it. And that's how they got started, and it became huge. They became radio stars. Then at one point they were doing a two-man show on Broadway in the 50s. But these guys, they started out in radio as just a couple of people who had a good rapport. And that's what can happen. You never know who you're going to meet when you're working in this business, and you never know who you're going to click with, and how sometimes it's really, really special. And you know it when you feel it. I mean, you know it when you're on the air with someone and you go, man, this works. I've worked with a partner. I worked with Gary Lee Wright, and he and I never met before the first night we were on the radio. And for some reason, it worked. It worked for many years. We were together for many years. And when you meet someone or start to work with someone and that chemistry happens, it's really special. And no chemistry worked better than Bob and Ray. And these guys, if you want to, the clips that we're going to play, the exquisite timing that these guys had, it's unbelievable. And a lot of this stuff was improvised. These guys were, you know, two of the innovators of that art form. They improvised a lot of stuff, classic stuff. So Bob and Ray were just legends, and Bob Elliott passed away, so we're going to pay tribute to them. Here's
just
one of my
quick question. One of the clips we're going to play in a little bit is from Letterman. Do you know how that worked with Chris Elliott being a Letterman contributor and Bob Elliott? Obviously, Letterman was a fan. Do you know, like, how that came to be?
I'm not really sure how. I know that, you know, Letterman was a lifelong Bob and Ray fan, and I know that he probably knew Chris was Bob's son and maybe gave him his break, because he was in his 20s when he got on. Chris Elliott, he was in his 20s when Letterman let him do his shtick. But I know the connection between Chris Elliott being Bob Elliott's son, I'm sure that had a lot to do with the fact that Letterman let him on the show.
Sure, absolutely. And yeah. I mean, you know, it was funny because I didn't know before Bob's passing that he was Chris Elliott's dad.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you know, obviously having just the Chris Elliott view things and how strange he was.
Yeah.
And to have this second layer of his dad and a lot more things make sense about Chris Elliott now that I know that Bob Elliott was his dad.
Well, when you hear they were on that sitcom together, Get a Life, which was on from 90 to 92. And I love that show. I love Chris Elliott and I love that show. But because Bob Elliott comes from a different school than Chris Elliott. Bob Elliott's humor was more subtle. It was, you know, it wasn't nearly as weird as his son's humor. But when they worked together, we're going to play a clip a little bit later from that. But I want to play before we hit the news here. One of my favorite bits, and this is a bit called the slow talker. You got to hear this. This is the legendary Bob and Ray.
This is a surprise time for me because I haven't had an opportunity to meet and talk with our next guest. Incidentally, this chair here sat in Mary Magoon's dining room for years and years. I don't know if that has any special meaning to you, sir. No. But would you sit there now and tell us your name, please?
Harlow P. Whitcomb.
And where are you from?
From Glens Falls,
New York.
New York.
And what do you do?
I am the president and recording...
Secretary.
Secretary of the S-T-O-A.
What does that stand for?
Slow Talkers of America. We believe
in speaking slowly,
in forming
your words, thoughts,
our ideas and opinions clearly before
speaking.
We speak. We are here
in New York City.
In the city of New York. Attending
a convention.
Our annual
convention.
Membership.
Convention.
Convention. All of our members. All 200.
Members.
And 50.
Members.
Seven members. Are here.
Speaking
talking
slowly.
Slowly.
So that you'll never be misunderstood.
As opposed to the members of the F.
T-O-A.
T-O-A.
O-A.
A. The Fast.
Talkers of America.
Talkers.
Of America.
Of America.
All right, that's that. I mean, God, that's funny. Bob and Ray, and we're paying tribute to the late Bob Elliott. Great stuff. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower, Thursday morning. Paying tribute to Bob Elliott, the late Bob Elliott, the great Bob Elliott. He passed away yesterday. He was 92 years old. He was one half of one of the most important and influential comic duos of all time. And, one of the most important duos to ever use this medium, radio. We're paying tribute to Bob Elliott. And we just played the Slow Talker bit, which is hilarious. This next bit that we play, this might be one of their most famous bits. It's the Komodo Dragon bit, the Komodo Dragon authority. Daryl Dexter. And this is played by Bob Elliott. This is a Bob and Ray bit that is pretty legendary. We're paying tribute to Bob Elliott, whom we lost. Seth Meyers says, rest in peace, Bob Elliott. I'll never forget the first time my dad played me, Komodo Dragon. And here it is.
Well, we've had from time to time with us experts. We always love to bring them on our programs and shows. Tonight is Dr. Daryl Dexter, the Komodo Dragon expert from Upper Montclair, New Jersey. Say, would you tell us a little bit about the Komodo Dragon, Doctor?
Happy to. The Komodo Dragon is the world's largest living lizard. It's a ferocious carnivore found on the steep-sloped island of Komodo in the Lesser Sunda chain of the Indonesian archipelago and the nearby islands of Rinja, Padar, and Flores.
Where do they come from?
The Komodo dragon, world's largest living lizard, is found on the island of Komodo in the Lesser Sunda chain of the Indonesian archipelago and the nearby islands of Rinja, Padar, and Flores. Now, we have two in this country that were given to us some years ago by the late former premier of Indonesia, Sukarno. and they reside in the National Zoo in Washington.
I believe I read somewhere where a foreign potentate gave America some Komodo dragons. Is that true?
Yes. The former premier of Indonesia, Sukarno, gifted our country with two Komodo dragons, world's largest living lizards, and they reside at the National Zoo in Washington.
Well, now, if we wanted to take the youngsters to see a Komodo dragon, where would we take the youngsters to see a Komodo dragon?
If you were in the vicinity of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., you would take the kiddos to the National Zoo, and there you'd see two live Komodo dragons, the world's largest living lizards. There's a stuffed Komodo dragon in the lobby of the Royal Hotel in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Now, they're of the lizard family, aren't they?
Yes. They're the world's largest living lizard and a ferocious carnivory. They have red darting tongues which suck in air and take it to their smelling glands and their throats.
Now, do they eat other things, these Komodo dragons?
Yes, they're ferocious carnivores. In fact, they can gulp down the hindquarters of a deer. One bite.
And what about that smelly tongue they have?
No, they have a red tongue, which brings in air to their smelling glands.
Okay. Well, I guess that about exhausts the subject, Doctor. I want to thank you for coming by. I know we all know a good deal more now about the Komodo dragon than we did a few moments ago. Do you have a ride home?
No, I don't.
Well, maybe somebody here in the audience give you a lift after the show.
Very kind of them, if they would.
Look, why don't you stand over there, okay? Thank you.
Oh, my God. That is so classic. That is so classic. You know, I really hope that I've never given an interview like that. Dan, have I ever given an interview like that?
No, you're pretty good about it.
Yeah? You know, like listening to what the other person is saying. Again, their target was radio when they first started. And again, you know, with the slow talker bit, the Komodo dragon bit, you know, every time I hear them, you know, they're as fresh. I've probably heard that bit 9 million times. And every time I hear it, it sounds fresh and it makes me laugh. I was sitting here in the studio laughing my butt off during that. I've heard it 15,000 times. And every time I hear it, I can't believe how good their timing is and the rapport that those guys had. You know, the very few partnerships in comedy have ever been as amazing as Bob and Ray. Okay, so we lost Bob Elliott, 92 years old. We're paying tribute to Bob Elliott and remembering Bob and Ray and more. We would love to hear from you if you have memories of your favorite Bob and Ray bits. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. How's everybody doing? It's Thursday morning. And we are now paying tribute to Bob Elliott. Bob Elliott was 92 years old, just a comedic icon and one half of the legendary comedy team, Bob and Ray. Esmeralda, I think you probably, have you ever heard Bob and Ray? I know you're young, and I think Bob and Ray were, I think Bob and Ray mostly really hit the baby boomers and a little bit older.
Right. It was a little bit past my time.
Yeah.
But actually, I'd never heard of them. But I do find it interesting that it is Chris Elliott's dad.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and Dan didn't know that Bob Elliott was Chris Elliott's dad till last night. But it's weird because they kind of couldn't be any more different in terms of their comic style. I mean, they're both satirists of some kind, but Chris Elliott's really weird, and his humor is way out there. And yet the times that they worked together, because Chris Elliott worked with his dad a number of times, a few appearances that they made on Letterman. Because obviously, as people might know, Chris Elliott became popular with his very strange and numerous appearances on Letterman. He was the guy who lived under the seats. He would come out as different characters. He would imitate people really badly. When he actually came on the show as Marlon Brando, I remember specifically almost peeing myself laughing. But, like, he goes into territories that are just so weird. And yet when they work together, for instance, in the sitcom Get a Life, Chris Elliott played this sort of loser, weird kid who was way too old to be living with his parents, played by Eleanor Donoghue, and his father, Bob Elliott. And their stuff together was hilarious. And he played his dad in the fantastic movie that I'm quoted on the box of, Cable Boy. And he plays his dad in that. So when they worked together, it was cool, and they had appearances together on Letterman, which were really special and fun to watch. But I can understand why people, if you didn't know that or you weren't really aware of who Bob Elliott is, I can see people being a little confused by the fact that, wait a minute, that's that guy's dad? Really? And you couldn't help but wonder, well, what exactly does his dad think of his kid's comedy? You know, I used to like, wait a minute, because Bob Elliott's a pretty straightforward guy. His comedy was low-key. It was brilliant. It was satirical, and it was very funny. But he never went into the weird stratosphere of weird strangeness that his son did. And I would imagine sometimes maybe he would run up. Maybe when Chris Elliott was younger and started to develop that insane sense of humor that he had, maybe he would run some bits past Bob Elliott. And Bob Elliott, I could just picture Bob Elliott sitting in the chair going, yeah, son, that's that's great. So you keep working. That's my kind of picture. It's like, Dad, you got any ideas you want to bounce off me? Keep at it, son. Oh, man. Now, a lot of the targets that Bob and Ray had, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, they went after fake sponsors. They made up fake sponsors. And they kind of, when they were a radio team, they attacked or they satirized the medium that they were in. which is a medium that, you know, I've been a part of now for about 30 years and should be satirized and at times should absolutely be attacked. And they did it in a very kind, very witty, very funny way. But they also did their own commercials for real, for real sponsors. Here's an actual beer commercial that they did. Now, you have to picture really cute animation. Like black and white, this is really cute little black and white figures of Bob and Ray, and this is for a beer that they did a commercial for in the 50s.
We're the Peel brothers. I'm Harry, and he's Bert. To tell you why the driest of all the dry beers has a superb, distinctive flavor.
He means Peel's taste best. Tell them right out, Harry.
Peel's tastes best.
You bet it does. Now let's make a few mouths water.
All right.
Hey, I asked for a better shot of the label on the 12-ounce bottle.
Peel's tastes best of all because it's the driest of all.
Oh, how would you like to get your hands on some of that, viewers?
Dryness in beer means less sweetness, and because...
All right, cut. Get a shot of my brother here with this target.
Because the drier the beer, the better the taste, we aim for a dryness.
And where do we hit?
Right here.
In the bullseye.
This shows Peel's is the driest. It has to taste the best.
All right.
Why not try Peel's yourself? It's true beer flavor is absolutely unique.
There's no other like it. Be sure you tell them that.
Okay. And the commercial's great because it's that old sort of stick figure, black and white animation. And they just the two of them look adorable in the commercial. Here are more tweets from celebrities who were remembering Bob Elliott. And if you have any Bob and Ray favorites or memories that you would like to share with us, you can send your texts or call us right now. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Keith Oberman said, "The late Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding were my first and last mentors. I could never have found better ones." Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall. Should I just go straight to news radio and other stuff? Because I always go right to Kids in the Hall. No matter who, whatever kid in the hall it is, I don't care what they've achieved after that. And many of them have gone on to achieve a lot. For instance, last night's episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine was directed by Bruce McCullough. So these guys are still working.
Yeah, but it's Kids in the Hall.
I know, it's always going to be Kids in the Hall. Those guys are the best.
But it's a good thing to not escape, I think.
Oh, no, I know. I keep, yeah. I don't think they want to escape it. They keep you know, having reunions and stuff. But they're always, no matter what they do, you know, if Kevin McDonald goes on to become president, you know, of Canada, he'll always be a Kid in the Hall, as far as I'm concerned. He was my favorite. Of all the kids, Kevin McDonald was my favorite. You know, I remember reading a Playboy interview one time with Lorne Michaels. And, you know, they get very – the Playboy interviews are long. And, you know, they get into detail. And they're most of the time, the Playboy interviews historically have been very thorough and they talk a lot. And I remember wanting to kill either the interviewer or Lorne Michaels or the editor for perhaps cutting it out. But I remember reading – and this was in the – I want to say this was in the late 90s. Late 90s, so it was probably a couple of years after Kids in the Hall wasn't on the air anymore, maybe early 2000s. I read the interview with Lorne Michaels, and there was not one mention of Kids in the Hall. I mean, I'm like, okay, I can understand if it's a brief mention, that's fine. But Lorne Michaels was executive producer of that show. Lorne Michaels discovered those guys and put them on TV. And to do an interview with Lorne Michaels and to not mention Kids in the Hall, come on! I love those guys. Oh, man, did I love those guys. So anyway, Dave Foley says, Bob Elliott was one of the greats and a huge influence on modern comedy. Indeed, that's true, Dave Foley. Okay, we're going to remember Bob Elliott more, play some more Bob and Ray. Take your text and talks at 312-981-7200. We'll break right here and then the news. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're paying tribute to Bob Elliott. Bob Elliott was one half of one of the greatest comedy duos of all time. Bob and Ray, along with Ray Golding, changed radio and changed comedy and influenced generations of amazing artists. And we're playing some classic stuff from Bob and Ray. And I want to continue to play some more. If you want to jump in here with your thoughts, your memories, your comments about Bob Elliott or Bob and Ray, we'd love to hear from you. Paul Provenza tweeted, rest in peace, comedy genius Bob Elliott, and condolences to Chris Elliott, who carries the brilliant comedy gene. And then Judd Apatow says, Bob and Ray are my David Bowie. Watch them on Carson, and the world would be at peace if we watched them together. So a lot of the comedy giants from today talking about these two comedy heavyweights from the past. Bob Elliott passed away at 92. And here is another example of what makes Bob and Ray so special and what made them so unbelievably funny.
Hey, Wally Blue is standing by in Napoleon, Ohio, with a report. Come in, please, Wally Blue.
Lee Blue here in Napoleon, Ohio. At the Great Lakes Paperclip Company. I have been conducting a survey of industrialists who are trying to contribute to the economic health of our nation, and I've come here to speak to the president of the firm, Mr. Hudley Pierce. Thank you for the warm welcome you gave me, Hudley.
Well, thank you. We're always pleased to have visitors here at the plant.
I was amazed to find such a huge factory devoted to the manufacture of such a small item as paper clips.
Well, actually, we're one of the small fellows in the business. There are several companies much bigger than ours in the paperclip business, but we all have the same problems, waste, inefficiency, goofing off, so forth.
Certainly, but you've been doing your best to fight that sort of thing. I was impressed in that one building I saw. I know you have others, but in that one, there was no machinery whatsoever.
No, we don't have any machinery. You see, we buy our wire in long strips, and then our workers cut them in shorter strips, and then bend them by hand into paper clips.
You must have to get a tremendous price for your product if it's handmade like that.
No, we're actually holding the line on cost there. We sell a box of 100 for 10 cents.
Wow.
And here at the factory for 6 cents a box in gross lots.
How many boxes can you turn out in, say, a week's time?
Well, with all three shifts going, we could make, 12 boxes. 200 boxes, maybe. And We can clear about $12.
I mean, you can run a big operation like I've seen here and only take in $12 a week?
Well, we have a low wage structure. You see, here again, we hold the line on costs. Our average worker makes about 14 cents a week.
That is ridiculous. How could anybody possibly live on 14 cents a week?
We don't pry into the personal lives of our employees, Molly. But as I understand it, our people live in caves on the edge of town. And they forage for food.
Well, I noticed... all of your employees seem to be dressed in rags. They have little strips of cloth tied around their feet.
Well, you can't wear shoes when you make 14 cents a week. I guess that's obvious to everybody.
I guess so. That would probably account for a lot of the grumbling I heard while I was over there.
I'm sure it would, yes. Yes, it would.
Still can't understand how anybody can work on a salary like you've described.
Well, there are a few loopholes in our union contract. For instance, there's no mention of wages at all. But there is a provision that makes the worker liable for prosecution and imprisonment if he tries to quit.
I imagine the union will have that changed the first chance it gets, huh?
Well, no, we have what's called a 99-year sweetheart contract. And it has 86 years to run, so we're in pretty good shape.
Well, you've got some time to look ahead, Mr. Pearson. Thanks again for the welcome I got out here. A tip of our hat to you in your fight against all of this waste and corruption.
Thank you very much.
Hudley Pierce, the Great Lakes Paperclip Factory. Thank you, Hudley.
Esmeralda, first time hearing it, and you're laughing.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah,
it's they all live in caves.
They all live in caves. Well, you can't wear shoes if you're making 14 cents a
week.
She's
like, that's obvious.
That's obvious. Oh, man, those guys were so funny. They were so funny. Now, Esmeralda, have you ever seen any reruns of Get a Life?
No, but I remember... I vaguely remember when it was on.
It was on from 90 to 92.
Yeah. And I do have friends who love Chris Elliott.
Yeah. It's a great show. Adam Resnick was one of the creators. He went on to co-write and direct Cabin Boy, which was the movie that he made right after that show got canceled.
Yes.
In it, he played this guy who should not be living at home. He should be out of the house. And the parents don't want him. Eleanor Donoghue. And Bob Elliott, who were, you know, paying tribute here, played his father and mother. And Bob Elliott's take on the dad, who didn't want his son there, thought his son was an idiot,
his
son was a weirdo, wanted him the hell out, moron, idiot, weird kid, get the hell out of the house, was essentially the thing. Well, in the clip we're about to play, because I was looking, because they don't have any single clips on YouTube. I had to go back and look through whole episodes, mm-hmm. which was a real chore to go back and actually look back at a TV show that I really think is brilliant and funny. So I pulled this clip. This was the clip that I found that I wanted to take, and it was from an episode where, for some reason, and again, Chris Elliott's living back at home,
yes,
and has no business being there. His parents don't want him there, and he's a weirdo idiot. So he has this dream of becoming a construction worker.
Okay.
And at this point, he's working with these group of construction guys who give him a tool belt, and he's all excited about it. But they're going to rip off his dad on work that they're doing on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chris Elliott's trying to, like, you know, he sees his parents sitting in the kitchen. Most of the scenes that take place in Get a Life that involve Bob Elliott involve him in a bathrobe sitting in the kitchen trying to get his son out. That's essentially what most of the stuff is. And there's no exception here. So this is from the episode where Chris Elliott, playing the son, and Bob Elliott, playing his dad, Eleanor Donoghue, playing the mom, where Chris comes in during a time when they're doing some construction on the house.
I learned a long time ago, when I'm really, really desperate for advice, and I can't find anyone else to talk to, not even a complete stranger, my parents are better than nothing.
Hey, Mom, Dad, I have a problem. And as always, you're my first and only choice for advice.
Lucky us.
What's the matter, sweetheart? Is that drifter who lives behind the gas station still threatening to kill you?
Nah, he got hit by a car last week. Now, my problem's a little more complicated. Let me give you a hypothetical situation here. Suppose your friend is a rhinoceros, and he's hawking really expensive sugar cubes on the moon. Only you find out that these sugar cubes aren't really made out of sugar at all, but they're made out of a cheap combination of sand and garlic from Korea.
Oh, boy, hold it right there. Are you saying these moron construction workers are trying to rip me off?
No, Dad. Oh, geez. You're always trying to read some sort of secret meaning in everything I say.
I got no time for this, boy. If you need advice, go bug a priest. Make him work for his 60 grand a year.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Good. I'll blow.
That's pretty much every episode was him just get out of here. and by the way, in that scene, Bob Elliott is in his bathrobe in the kitchen, mm-hmm. sitting at the table cleaning a gun.
Oh, nice. So that's, right.
So just great stuff. Their last regular gig, Bob and Ray, their last radio gig, ended in 1976. So that's like over 30 years on the radio, mm-hmm. these guys. And they were at WOR in New York. They continued to do commercials. They made occasional TV appearances. In the early 80s, they went and they had a national revival with the Bob and Ray Public Radio Show, which aired on public shows. And then in 1984, they did 3 sold-out performances at Carnegie Hall. So even in the 80s. And then I remember there was a Bob and Ray special that I think aired in the late 80s because, you know, Letterman constantly talked about Bob and Ray. And had them on frequently, and so a lot of Letterman's audience skewed younger. I'm going to play after we take a break. When I come back, the last clip I'm going to play is from Letterman, because Letterman constantly had him on, even though Letterman's audience was much younger and not the target audience of Bob and Ray, who tended to skew a little bit older. But a whole new generation of kids who were watching Letterman and younger, you know, like college students and stuff. Mm-hmm. Latched onto Bob and Ray because of Letterman and then went back and listened to their stuff and realized just how unbelievably funny they were. And so they had that revival in 84, in Carnegie Hall. And then there was a television special that they did. And I think it was, I'm almost positive it was on NBC. And, you know, people from SNL were on it. It was like this all-star thing, and it was like a tribute to Bob and Ray. And I think they were a little bit, in the 80s at that time, I think they were a little bit overwhelmed by suddenly, like, young people in, you know, like 19, 20-year-old college students and stuff like that were like, yeah, Bob and Ray, man! And they were just like, yeah, okay, you realize we got together in the 40s. So, but it just proved how timeless they were. And they made many appearances on Letterman. We have... a really memorable clip from one of their Letterman appearances. So Bob and Ray, Bob Elliott passed away, and we're remembering Bob Elliott. And if you would like to join us with a text or a call, it's 312-981-7200, a comedy giant from one of the best comedy duos, if not the best comedy duo, or one of the best comedy duos of all time, passed away, and we're remembering him. All right, it's Thursday. We didn't do any Thin Lizzy, but we'll have to save that for another time. There's plenty of Thin Lizzy and plenty of Thursdays left.
Yeah, I hope so. It turns out that next week they're going to just get rid of Thursdays altogether.
Yeah, it's going to be Quiz Day because they want to use a Q.
Sure. It's underutilized.
And well, you know why? Because purposely so that we can do a Queen Day where we can just play nothing but Queen. How about that?
You have Freddie Mercury Fridays.
Oh!
Or Freddie Mercury Mondays.
Why? Because it's just because any excuse to play Freddie Mercury?
I was going with the M.
Freddie Mercury Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Mercury Monday. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We wouldn't be able to get into the monkey's deep cuts, though.
Yeah, what about the deep cuts?
I mean, again, there's a lot of Mondays.
Okay. So
there's a lot
of- yeah. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up at 5 o'clock, it's the opening bell, and at 6 o'clock, my main man Steve Cochran back in and ready to go. Yeah, all right. Bob and Ray, Esmeralda's getting exposed to Bob and Ray for the first time.
Yeah,
pretty funny, huh?
It's good.
Yeah,
kind of sad that. Well, I mean,
you're discovering it now that he's dead.
But they haven't. I mean, when was the last time? What was the most
recent
thing?
Well, I mean, Ray Golding died in 90.
Okay.
So it's been it's been a long time.
Okay, so I shouldn't feel that.
No. All right, well, like I said, David Letterman was really instrumental in exposing Bob and Ray to a younger generation. And they appeared on Letterman a lot. And, of course, you know, Letterman is responsible basically for Chris Elliott, Bob Elliott's son's career. So Bob and Ray appeared on Letterman a lot. And this is one of the appearances that they made on David Letterman Show.
In the last 10 or 12 years, there's been a lot of talk about improvisational comedy and improv groups and so on and so forth. My first guests have been doing improvisational comedy for 35 years. They're the best at it. Bob and Ray, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for being here. Let me see. Bob Elliott, Ray Goulding.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much. Should it have been Lifeless Joke Bag or Jokeless Life Bag?
Jokeless Life Bag.
Jokeless Life Bag.
Lifeless Joke Bag.
Yeah, okay. I know I'm so accustomed to seeing you guys together. Do you actually hang around once you're done with a show? Do you go out together and get rowdy in bars and stuff?
No, we haven't done that for years. No, I go home and he goes home. We're together all day, so people figure you should be together all night, too, but...
It don't work that way.
Plus, we don't have a show right now, so there's no place to go out after we do the show.
Yeah, there being no show. you're in a motion picture now with Al Pacino?
Yeah, well, yes, we're with him in a few scenes. It's a small part.
Yeah. What is it? Is it a comedy?
It's important to the movie.
I don't know what it is. I haven't... I just know what we've done. I haven't seen the rest of the movie. But it probably is a comedy, but I don't know. Al Pacino, does he do comedy?
You guys will just go out on anything. You don't look into it ahead of time, huh?
I'm waiting to see the movie. I'm dying to see it myself.
I remember seeing you gentlemen. Dick Cavett had a daytime television show, and he was doing something during the Republican convention from Miami.
Right.
And there was a name of a candidate, Prescott Lally.
Right.
Yes.
Was that a real guy or just an odd name? Or it's a name that has stuck with me lo these many years.
No, it was a fictitious name, but we always managed to come up with some of these great names that stick with people.
Yeah, and
it's a lot like you. I notice you do too. our names are names that could be real people.
Yeah,
they're not too contrived. Prescott Lally. I mean, how many of those? You've known a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fine old name in this country.
Sure is.
Yeah. The other thing was, tell us about the origin of Wally Ballou. Now,
that's another thing. Now, Wally Ballou, I don't think we've ever been in any city where there hasn't been a Wally Ballou who's come up to us and introduced himself.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are plenty of Wally Ballous out there.
And a lot of them in newsrooms.
Yeah. But he was a radio reporter, and he was always upcutting himself or being upcut.
Well, he did. I made a lot of enemies of radio engineers in the early 50s around on the network by coming, Lee Ballou speaking.
Mm-hmm. But now that's such an inside reference, and it was very hip, still very hip. Explain what that is exactly.
Well, it was when, as an announcer, you used to give the engineer a cue for the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't get it on quick enough, you'd come on, Lee Ballou speaking, and give him a dirty look.
Yeah, yeah. You guys have been together for 35 years.
Yeah, we don't look it, though, do we?
No, you don't. Do you ever have any difficulty finishing one another's sentences, or...?
Well, you know, when you've been together for so long, you get thinking on the same wavelength.
Same wavelength.
And sometimes the other fellow will know what you're going to say
exactly now.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes you think you're in an echo chamber.
Geniuses. So those guys were the best, man. Bob Elliott, rest in peace. Bob Elliott, a comic giant, passed away. But his son and his granddaughter continue the comedy ways. Now, did you know that Abby Elliott from SNL was Chris Elliott's daughter?
Yes.
You did know that?
I did. And I was like, what? That's crazy.
I know, because she's like beautiful.
Well.
No, Chris Elliott's not an attractive man.
I know, but.
You know.
You know, and I.
And he does stuff to make himself even more unattractive. Right. Let me just say that. Because, I mean, you take a look at what he looks like, and there's something about Mary.
Right. But I'm also, you know, I didn't assume it was just going to be Chris Elliott's face on, like, two pigtails.
Although I think he's dressed like that many times.
Oh, right.
I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, Abby Elliott, Chris Elliott, continue the tradition. And Bob and Ray, a lot of stuff available on YouTube. And if you're not familiar with it, please check it out. And rest in peace, Bob Elliott, a true comic giant and a radio giant as well.